Well, amen. I got to tell you that Pastor Daniel and Pastor Ben are just doing a fantastic job. And I want you to give them a hand if you would. In this interim time, there's just been moments where certainly I needed help. And other people have needed help, and they have just been so, so great going over and above, which happens to be the message that I'm giving today, over and above part two. And can you believe this weather out here? I love it. I love it. Some of you might be like, I was going to go camping this weekend, but I'm glad you're here. And no, I love it. We need all the rain that we can get, and we were sitting back here in the green room. Behind the stage, our worship team, as we always do. And I mean, the trees were bending over sideways. We got rain smashing on the windows. I was like, June in Bedford. Yeah. Not used to this. I like it, though. I like it. Right from the start, would you just pray with me? Let's just do that. Lord, we invite you here. And we invite you into this place and into our hearts. And Lord, just want to ask that your word would come into our hearts today and into our mind so that we're changed, that we're different than before we came in. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Weeks ago, I gave a message entitled Over and Above, and today is part two. Of that message. But first, I want to review quickly part one. We'll just zip through this, okay? And we're going to read Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So the 4 points that we had, we're actually going to close with these same 4 points. And but I'm just going to read through them here. Number one was actually three. It was pray, read the Bible, pursue Christian fellowship. These are how we live over and above in life and in our situations, circumstances. Number two is to lift up your eyes and look around you so that you get your mind off of yourself and all of our problems, and that we begin to see those around us. And number three is to speak life. And number four, last but not least, use your brain, which isn't usually mentioned in a list like this. But I thought, you know, using your brain correctly is a good thing. Can you say amen? Yes. And so we'll look at that a little bit later. Okay. So I want to talk about another aspect of living over and above, and it's not allowing negativity, slander, or rumors to influence your decisions. It's learning to love through the confusion. It's not allowing bitterness and gossip to rule over you. It's not allowing difficult circumstances to rule over your spirit and your mind. It's living above these things. Can it be done? The answer to that is yes, absolutely. It can be done, and we're going to talk about that, okay? And I'm going to read Ephesians 3, beginning with verse 14. This will not be on the screen. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now we're going to read Ephesians 3, halfway through verse 17 and 19, okay? And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. All right, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever wanted to fly? Have you ever wanted to fly? You're like, yeah, right. Yes. Well, I have. And I used to have these dreams about flying many years ago. They were probably influenced by some other things that were going on in my life. But I used to dream of flying. And I mean, it was so vivid to me. I mean, I felt like I knew what it was like to stand there, and there was some kind of a lifting that happened. I had to watch out for the, you know, the power lines and things like that, and riding, you know, going above and beyond. And I told a friend of mine about that back then, and he goes, you should pursue that. what does that mean? I don't know what that means. I still don't. So I have not pursued that. I don't know how that happens. My brother-in-law, Paul, is an intelligent man. And he's been a mechanical engineer for many years, and he's worked for the government on some very heady projects, and I think he's even been spoken before Congress, things like that. So he's a very intelligent guy. And he was also part of a team that designed a new device to help with very small arteries in open heart surgery. And there's been many lives saved because of the team that he was on that put this together. It's an awesome thing. So he was a very smart guy, still is. When Paul was about 13 years old, he was a young boy living in the hills of Arkansas. And one day he was looking through a catalog. You know, they didn't have the internet back then in the 60s. And so we had catalogs. And one day, he discovered that he could order a gyroplane or a, you know, an ultralight, something like that. You know, it flies. You know, so he found he could order one of those. And I guess back then, you didn't have to be a certain age or anything. He was 13. He didn't tell anybody he was doing this. And he did it. He ordered it. And being a very intelligent young man, he put that thing together at 13 years old, and he didn't tell anybody that he was doing it. Well, he put it all together, and lo and behold, he flies at 13 years old. And I don't know what you were doing. You were 13, but I was not flying an aircraft of any kind. And so he starts flying this thing around the hills of Arkansas, and just having a big old time. And he told me all about it. He just said, it was just so great. You know, I'm just flying above everything. He goes, nobody knows I'm doing this. Well, he didn't think anybody knew he was doing this, except that he's flying all over the place. And so one day his dad comes into the barn and says, son, neighbor says, they've seen you around. He says, son, do you have a flying machine? He said, yes, dad, I do. And his dad said, that's the end of the flying machine. So he could not fly the flying machine anymore, and he had to get rid of it. And so I know that's really the end of my story. Every time I've heard him tell me that, I've asked him to tell me it a few times, because I'm just like, you really did that? You put it all together yourself and you just took off flying? I mean, I just think it's such an amazing thing. And so imagine, well, you don't have the flying machine. Let's just pretend for a minute that you're a bird. How about that? Let's just pretend, all of you with imaginations. You're a bird. You are flying just below the clouds, and you can see everything beneath you. And what do you see down there but a parade? And when you are flying as a bird, you see the end of this parade and you see the beginning. You see where people are coming into this parade. And so you see the end and the beginning. It's a glorious thing. And you're the only one that's able to see this because you're up above. You're over and above. Now, most of you in here have been to a parade. Is there anybody in here who's never been to a parade? I know you don't want to raise your hand because it's a part of life, right? Yeah, so when you're at a parade, you know, you see what's right in front of you. You have no idea how long this parade is. For some parades, I would like to know how many more run-of-the-mill cars and trucks that are coming along, because some people, it might have been you, are in the parade just to be in the parade. You know, you throw a few streamers and balloons on a pickup, and some of you and your friends go in the parade. And that's the way it is. You know, personally, I'd like to see, a few more horses, a few more, a little more candy, maybe a clown or two, maybe a marching band, maybe some great-looking hot rods, things like that. But as someone watching the parade, all you see is what's right in front of you. You can't see the beginning, and you can't see the end. Now, if you had a view from the sky, like a bird, you'd just see how long the parade was. You would have the full picture of the beginning and the end. And remember, from the ground, it's what's right in front of us. So I just want to keep that picture in our minds this morning. And I want to say this, let your perspective be from a bird's eye view. Let your perspective be from a bird's eye view. I'm going to go back to the scripture, Ephesians 3:17. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So verse 18 says that may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. Now that's all of us. That's talking about all of us. That we will all have this power. Okay? What power is that? Well, we're going to see. To grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. To love. That's what our power is. That's what our power is as believers in Christ, as Bethel Church, each and every one of us. We have the power to love, and that comes from God and God alone. Now, when we're confronted with different situations regarding different people, you know, troubling situations, I mean, how are we reacting? How are you reacting? I was just recently in a conversation with a friend of mine, doesn't go to this church, so I can say all these things, and nobody knows who this is. Really good guy, but he was telling me about somebody that's living at his home, and this person is has been there for a couple of months. My friend didn't really want this person there in the first place. They're not really there for a good reason, related to his wife. And anyway, my friend was just saying all kinds of things about this person, and none of them were very good. And so I was standing there listening, and just kind of wondering, you know, I'm wanting to be a witness for Christ. I don't want to jump on his bandwagon of talking about this person. But the thing is, when people start saying things that sound pretty true to you, and it has to do with other people, and it's in a negative light, and it sounds like, wow, this is true. Wow, that's a terrible thing. And some of the things he was telling me just weren't very good. And I was thinking, well, it's probably true. Well, that's where we have to stop. And that's what I want to say to you is when you're in that situation, just stop. Stop for a moment. And this is where the bird's eye view comes into play. It's looking at the big picture. It's being able to look from above and to be able to see the way things really are. And when you're in a situation like that, I would just say, don't react. Don't react to something that sounds like you want to jump in and say, that's ridiculous, you know, because it's easy to do that. Well, we don't want to do that. We want to live over and above, okay? Because you start doing that on a regular basis, it's not going to be good for you. It's not going to be good for them. It's not going to be good for other people, okay? You need to take a step back in your spirit and in your mind. when this situation is coming up. And you need to look at the big picture. Now, in the case with my friend, I didn't want to jump into it. I don't know my friend real well, so I didn't want to jump into it at all or correct him or anything like that. I just said, you know, I'm going to stay out of that one. That's what I said. I'm going to stay out of that one, and I changed the subject. And I said, let's talk about my car that's in big trouble. How about that? So what we need to do is we need to attempt to see as Jesus sees. And that's what I'm talking about when I talk about over and above. That's seeing the way that Jesus sees. And it's through the lens of love, which is always a bird's eye view. Whenever you have the lens of love that comes from God, and this is the only way that we get this, is from the Lord. We can think, well, that's a really good idea, but unless it's from the Lord, we're not going to get that big picture. We're not going to be able to see everything. We're not going to see the bird's eye view from beginning to end. But in order to even begin to see as God sees, there's a few things to realize right away. You know, in this situation, you know, like my friend was telling me about, I really don't know what his friend or whoever it was thinking. I don't really know what they were doing. I certainly don't know their heart. So I can't make any kind of a judgment. And even if I could, it really isn't the thing to do. And so there's always so much that we don't know. And, you know, if it's a situation involving several people, there's probably a lot of things that you don't know about, okay? And when we rush to judgment in a situation or towards a person or persons, then we're seeing from ground level, like at a parade that you're watching. If you're rushing to judgment in a situation, all you see is what's right ahead of you. You do not see the full parade, okay? And very rarely can we see the full parade. Verse 19 says, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. So love that surpasses knowledge, that's an amazing love. That's more than we can think. That's what that means. That's love more than you can even possibly imagine. That's the kind of love that we're looking for. So what I would like to do is take a few familiar scriptures to help us understand this concept that I'm talking about. So flying isn't just, well, that's kind of a good idea, flying, imagining you can fly. So Romans 8:28. Now, many of us know this verse, and we've used it lots of times. Now, maybe you've never heard or used this, but many Christians have used this verse. And it says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, you might say, well, somebody used that scripture and kind of threw it at me when I was really hurting and it just didn't do anything for me. That's just an answer that didn't do anything. But I tell you, this is a really powerful scripture. And just let's think about it. Though I'm experiencing difficult things that are hard to understand, if you believe that God causes all things to work together for good, that means all the crazy things that happen in this life, if you are called according to his purpose, if you love him, and you know him, somehow, some way, I don't know how he does it, he'll cause those things in the end to work together for good. And if you believe that and know that, that's living over and above. Because no matter what comes your way, it might be difficult. You're going to have that knowledge. Regardless of what is happening, I believe that God is going to work all things together for good. That's living over and above. It's the big picture. It's the bird's eye view. Okay? Now we're going to look at Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. So maybe something I'm encountering might cause me to have fear, trepidation, might cause me to be nervous. Okay? Now, I know God. I know He's not going to leave me. I know this. Now, sometimes you might have to remind yourself of this. But I'm able to see the big picture. And when I say able to see the big picture, I'm not saying that you're literally going to see everything in a situation. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is you understand that God is who He is, and He's not going to leave you. He's not going to leave you where you are. He's going to be with you where you are. And suddenly it makes anything you encounter a little bit different, quite a bit different. And there's a peace that can settle on you. And a peace that knows I'm not alone. And I'm not going to be alone. Because God is with me. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. Let's look at another one. James 3:17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason. I like that one. Full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. All right, now this is a bird's eye view. It's wisdom from above. Above. The Bible talks about God being above. So we always have this image of God is up there somewhere. But it's that He is above and He's looking over us. Okay? And it's just a great picture for us. And it's seeing a situation with the big picture in mind. So instead of judgment, we are to be full of mercy. Okay? Impartial and sincere. Supposed to be gentle, not angry. Open to reason. Open to reason. Peaceable. One thing I've always tried to do, I don't know that I always do it well, but when I say open to reason, I try to put myself in the other person's shoes as much as I can. Sometimes we let our emotions get a hold of us, and it's when you do that, it kind of blinds you to that. That's why it's great to take a step back sometimes and just go, all right, Lord, how can I see this situation differently? If I was in this person's shoes, why would I be thinking this way? Why are they upset? What is their situation? And there was a situation that happened not long ago where I had to do this very thing where a person was upset, but instead of me getting upset back, I had to go, all right, why are they so upset? If I was in their shoes, you know, let's reason. Let's reason this a little bit. That's part of using your brain. It's also asking the Lord to help you out. Yeah. And a person with wisdom from God is going to see the entire parade. He or she is able to discern what to do and where to go because they see the whole scene. They don't rush to judgment. And in the immortal words of Elvis Presley, I had to throw this in, wise men say, only fools rush in. So, yes. Yes. Which is very true. So when we're talking about living over and above, it's because of the fact that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. Okay, so I just want to review. And we're going to go through these four things really quickly again that I started with. Number one is to pray, read the Bible, pursue Christian fellowship. So to see from a bird's eye view, over and above the parade of life, if I may, then we need to do these three things. Talk to God regularly. That's all prayer is. And to read our Bible daily. And I need to throw this in. Read the Bible with humility. Because if we don't read it with humility and what we're reading is what you can apply to someone else all the time, that's no good. That's no good. It needs to be personal to you. And so when we read it, we need to be humble and say, God, speak to me through your word. Because if you don't speak to me, there's no way I can apply this to somebody else. So Lord, speak to me through your word. And I need to tell you, your life can be kind of all over the place. And I'm not saying that's great. But what I am saying is you can still read the Bible. And you can still say, God, my life's all over the place. I kind of screw up here and there, maybe more than I should. But God, help me. And the Bible's such a, don't be afraid of the Bible. The Bible is real. It's God's word speaking to us. It's so powerful, reading the word of God. And if you only read a verse, that's great. Just think about that verse. Don't, if you're not used to reading the Bible, then don't think of it, the Bible is just so big. I can't get into this whole thing. Well, don't get into the whole thing. Just start reading in the New Testament if you're not doing it. And just read a little bit at a time. If you have a study Bible, read some of the notes. And there's so many great opportunities online to read the Word of God. And if we don't know the Word of God, we're not going to be able to live over and above. There's just no way that you can do that. And then pursuing Christian fellowship. So we want to be healthy. We want to be healthy people. And the way to be a healthy person is to have solid, healthy Christian fellowship. Now you're putting yourself out there a little bit. I understand that. Just the way it is. If you want to grow as a person, you need Christian fellowship. And if you're finding yourself hiding away all the time, I'm not saying that might be a natural thing for you to do, but if you want to grow, start to look up. And that goes to our next one, which is to lift up your eyes and look around you. Now, you may not be the most outgoing person that ever lived, but you really do need to look around you. And it's not that you have to be super Christian, anything like that, but you can just look around and see the needs that are there, because they're all over the place. Needs are all over the place. And many times people, they put on a great facade. You know, many of us try to, you know, look our best. If we're at church, or it's not like it used to be. There was a day when I wore a suit and tie every week. Amen. I'm not saying I liked it. I'm saying that was a day. That was a different day. But sometimes we put on a facade, and it's not just with our clothes or makeup, whatever it is. It's how we act and very surface level, these kinds of things. But if we open our eyes and we ask God to help us, we're going to be able to see some needs that are around us. All right. And then the third thing also has to do with this, with other people, is speaking life. You know, it's not always easy to speak life. That is something that sometimes takes practice. And sometimes doesn't feel like something you want to do. Like when my friend was telling me how bad this other person was, I had in my mind, I'm like, yeah, that doesn't sound very good. It really wasn't easy to say something positive. But I've learned over the years that I want to speak life, speak good things in people's lives. And I want to see the best. And as I've said before, if I can do it, you can do it. Because I'm naturally kind of I naturally think sort of negative. Like if somebody says something about a situation, my mind goes to what could go wrong. And it's like I can't help it. It just happens. But I learned a long time ago to use my brain and to say, no, I'm not going to go there. Lord, help me. What's the good in this situation? Now, if you ask my wife, I'm sure she'll say, you haven't always done that. But I try. But speaking life, just speaking, when you see somebody doing something good, say something. If somebody needs some encouragement, if you notice something in somebody's life, anything that's good, just go, you know, you are so good at speaking with people. You're so good at dealing with people that are hard to talk to. You're so great at serving other people. Just if you see somebody doing it, just speaking life. And if somebody's pouring out some negative stuff, you don't have to make it awkward. But, you know, there's just not entering into that and maybe saying something positive about something else. Speaking life to people, it makes such a difference in this life and in their life. This is a random example I just thought of. Okay, I used to play basketball back when my back was good many years ago. But I played in high school and I never did well when I was yelled at. That's just my personality. I just didn't do well. And I had one coach that would really yell at me, and then another assistant coach who would always sort of bad cop, good cop, bad cop, whatever it is. So anyway, we were in this game, and I wasn't doing, I wasn't having a great game. And so my coach was yelling at me, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Whatever. The assistant coach pulls me over near the end of the game and he said, Hutley, I want you to get in this game. I want you to steal the ball. I want you to get in this game. And after you steal the ball, I want you to rebound at the other end. And he said, and I want you to make a shot. We were just within a few points. And he says, I think you can do this. And I was like, oh. Cool. All right. And in this case, the other day I told a story and it wasn't this way. In this case, it worked. It worked. I went in. I stole the ball. I kind of fouled the guy a little bit, but they didn't call it. And then somebody else took a shot. I rebounded it. They went to the other end. I stole the ball again. I went to the other end. I made a shot. And then we were down by one. And they had the ball. I stole it again. As I was falling out of bounds, I threw it to another teammate. He made the winning basket at the buzzer. It was very exciting. I didn't have very many of those moments. Can you clap for that? Can you clap? I didn't have very many of those moments. But it's just an example of life. Speaking life, and I respond to it personally when somebody speaks something positive to me. And I know that they will respond that way if you do the same. And the last one is use your brain, and kind of feel like I need to explain this just a little bit. And because when we have the mind of Christ, and this is what I'm talking about, through prayer, that we, through prayer, reading his word with humility, then we can think right thoughts. And we can figure out everyday problems because we're not going to be weighed down with a lot of things. And I can make right decisions in regard to people and situations. And if I can get the worship team to come up, that'd be great. I was just challenged today. I've got a lot of things on my mind, and it's funny how God will do this sometimes where I knew I had this message today, and I'm kind of thinking, I'm not really doing this. I'm letting things bother me, and spent my time in prayer and the Word, and talked to my wife this morning, and even as I was sitting down here, I was like, Lord, let me live what I'm saying. And It's a challenge for all of us. This living over and above all sounds good. But it's walking with God. And when I talk about a bird's eye view and flying, that all sounds good. But that only comes with knowing God, because He's the one that's got the view. He just lets you in on it. He lets you in on it. So as a church, you know, we're looking for a new pastor. And I would say that our best bet is for all of us to be looking from a bird's eye view. You're not going to know everything. You're not going to see the beginning and the end on that parade, that's for sure. Nobody does, but God will help you. And God will talk to you. And God will give that peace. If we do these things I'm talking about, these four things, and we're being the church today, not just waiting. And I need to say something to you guys, and I mean this. I think you're doing a fantastic job. I'm so thankful for all of you guys, because I don't hear negative stuff. I hear people that are looking forward. I hear people that are living the life today. And I thank you for that. And I know all of the leadership thanks you for that. And we're the church today. We're taking it one day at a time, and we're moving forward. Can you say amen? Yeah. That we may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. Let's all say together, together, together. One more time. Together. That's all of us. Together. Okay? With the power of love. And now that is a powerful church. Not because really of programs, not because of events, although I like both those things and they can be very effective. It's because of changed people. That's you. Every one of you. Allowing God to change you so that you really can see more than what's right in front of you. But you can see the bigger picture. Our church, all of us together, all seeing through God's lens of love. And we can fly, and we can fly. I know all these old songs. And we can fly in our hot air balloon. But seeing from God's perspective, from that bird's eye view. Now we're going to sing a song that a few of us wrote a few weeks ago. And I don't know if this message is based on this song or this song is based on this message. I can't quite remember, but it's Over and Above. So if we'd all stand, we'll sing this song together.